Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Coming at you guys here on this Wednesday, 40 minutes from now. We'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on Sunday's massive showdown at Arrowhead Stadium between the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. One of those teams will be 1-3 after Sunday, and I cannot wait to see that game. That's high stakes, as we said yesterday during the show. Like, it's almost more fun that these two teams are 1-2 heading into it, as opposed to being like 3-0 and all being great for both of these contenders. So 1-3 is staring one of them in the face. We shall see who comes Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium. 20 minutes from now, we're breaking down NFL awards on this Wednesday. MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, which I hope you listened last week. Defensive Player of the Year. I have a bet in the MVP market heading into the Week 4 slate. You'll have to find out in the next segment who that bet is, but a very, very fun betting market that is brewing for league's most valuable player in the National Football League. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday, back in the saddle, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, welcome back, buddy. How are we doing today?
We're feeling good, Femi. We're on the eve of another NFL week kicking off. That's always makes hump day a good day in the eyes of the NFL better.
Oh, 100%, baby. We're back in the saddle tomorrow night. I still haven't figured out what I want to do in that Seahawks-Cardinals game. Seattle a favorite right now, but we got plenty of time to talk about that later on today with it moved. Tomorrow, all throughout the show, previewing the game for Thursday Night Football as Week 4 is already here. Like, so much buildup for the season, and now we're already just at Week 4. It's funny how quickly these things go, but time flies, I guess they say, as you're having fun. But let's have some fun with the top stories that we have on the docket this Wednesday. Bill, what's the number one thing that folks need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, you'll be shocked to know we are going to start in the National Football League because Michael Penix has struggled the last two games. He's averaging just 150 yards passing, completing less than 60% of his passes, no touchdowns, two interceptions. It has not been good for Penix. Now, Falcons head coach Raheem Morris was asked about the status of Penix as the team's starter and if they might consider pivoting to Kirk Cousins, and Morris pretty much snapped back.
I mean, Kirk, you know, lost his job last year, you know, but we're not even close to that moment with Mike. Mike had a bad game. We had a bad day. We had a bad day as a team, and it's easy for everybody to pile on, particularly, like I told you, the head coach, the coordinator, obviously the quarterback, first in line for the wounds, right? And he's just in line right now. He had a bad game. He'll bounce back. Got a lot of confidence. He'll bounce back, and I can't wait to watch practice today.
Femi, I think it was more than just one bad game. It's definitely too early to pivot to Cousins, but how much concern should there be around Penix right now?
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, oh my goodness, this is DEFCON 1, we need to be very, very concerned and maybe look at another quarterback, 1 being not concerned whatsoever, I would put it at like a 5. I think we're right in the middle because it's early on in his career. Like, that was his 6th start. And oh, by the way, one of the reasons why we did not like Atlanta in Survivor when we were doing our Survivor discussion last week, it's like, division road game, 6th start. Not really my vibe. I thought the Falcons would win, but I thought it might just be a little bit nervy. I didn't think it was gonna be that. What, you lose 30-0? And I think why I'm up to a level of 5, as opposed to being like, you know what, it's one bad game, which is the tone that head coach Raheem Morris is taking. Like, when you factor in the competition, like, man, I get it. You've only started 6 games, man. 0 points against the Carolina Panthers? Come on.
This is not the Carolina Panthers of like John Fox's days when they're going to the Super Bowl or whatever with Julius Peppers and Mike Rucker and Brenston Buckner and that defensive line. This ain't that Carolina Panthers. This ain't the Carolina Panthers from like from the Cam Newton and Ron Rivera days with Luke Kuechly and those guys. Like, this is the Carolina Panthers where they have no good defensive players outside of Derrick Brown and J.C. Horn. Like, that's it. That's all they got. And they couldn't score a point. That is concerning. And will Michael Penix Jr. be better? Will he bounce back? I hope so. Like, because it's not that hard to bounce back after what we saw last week. Like, that was a really, really bad game. And now they're at home taking on a Washington team that I'm not that high on. And the point spread is like around a pick 'em. Some places have Washington favored. Some places have Atlanta favored. So, like, we're kind of hanging around a pick 'em. It's a coin flip contest. Like, I would expect it to be much, much better back indoors. Friendly confines, don't have to deal with crowd noise, not a division opponent. I would think that this is going to be better. But that's not the only concern with this game, just the Michael Penix Jr. side of it. Jaden Daniels, like, he's going to be limited at practice today. We're wondering what's happening with his knee injury. He says he feels good, but it's all up to the doctors. So as of right now, I don't know if we're going to learn anything on Jaden Daniels until maybe tomorrow or Friday. But with this game having so much uncertainty, the Daniels injuries, what are the Atlanta Falcons exactly? Are they more like the team that we saw in week two? Are they more like the team that we saw in week three? The truth is probably in the middle somewhere. But I think right now, this is a complete stay away. This Commanders-Falcons game on Sunday. For those who have strong convictions, Godspeed, because right now, I think there's just way too much that's up in the air for me to pound the table for either side. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Well, Femi, you mentioned that Chiefs-Ravens game a little bit last segment, and the Chiefs here might be trending towards some good news. Xavier Worthy was back at practice in some capacity, and it looks hopeful that he would be back against Baltimore. Now, nothing's confirmed at this point, Femi. Chiefs are calling him day-to-day, but getting Worthy on the field would be obviously a big boost for the Kansas City offense.
They desperately need this. Like, they need Worthy back there. He is the field stretcher. He is the guy that can threaten the third level of the defense. And they don't have anyone like that. I mean, you could point to Tyquan Thornton. Ain't nobody scared about no damn Tyquan Thornton. I apologize to his friends and family who might be listening, but, like, we're just being honest. Like, nobody's driving to the stadium being like, oh, man, how are we going to cover Tyquan Thornton? Like, that's just not a thing. And I'm not even sure they say that about Xavier Worthy, to be quite honest, but at least Xavier Worthy is, like, the fastest person in the NFL. And if Mahomes, who said he's been working on his deep ball, I'm assuming a lot of that rapport has been done with Xavier Worthy, maybe the deep ball can get back into the equation for the Kansas City Chiefs, because it hasn't been in like 3 years. Like, they need a field stretcher, especially when you look at how defenses are kind of playing them. They're just saying, all right, we're going to go man-to-man. You guys beat us. And you have a tight end in Travis Kelce who's long in the tooth. He's not really running away from any linebackers or safeties. And you got Hollywood Brown. You never know what side of the day that he's going to show up on. Like, whether it's good Hollywood Brown or if he turns into the bad Hollywood Brown, nobody knows with him. Like, there's just not really the weaponry that is required to compete in these kinds of games. But that might help if Xavier Worthy is back out there. Because if they do have Worthy, this is a Baltimore defense that you can exploit. And Andy Reid's one of the best offensive minds in league history. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks in league history. They have a week to prepare for this Zach Orr defense that has been getting lit on fire this season, sans the Cleveland Browns. Like, I think that this is a chance that we actually see a higher scoring game, which the betting market is anticipating right now. Totals all the way up to 48.5. I think that if anything, if I had to bet this game, it would be on the Chiefs, like a small bet on Kansas City, unless we get to 3, or maybe it's just the over, because I think Baltimore's offense will have success against this Kansas City defense. And I do think this has the potential, being at home, being a must-win, not a must-win game, but like a kind of a gotta-have-it game, I think you're going to see the very best of what the Chiefs have to offer, at least this version of the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it good enough? We'll find out Sunday. But I think you'll see a little bit more scoring in this game than we've seen in prior Chiefs games so far this season. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, we got a couple stories here with the New York Giants. First of all, we know the Giants were pivoting to Jackson Dart at quarterback already. Brian Daboll today took it a step further and said that Dart is going to be the team's quarterback for the remainder of the season. Russell Wilson has officially been demoted to QB2, so this is not Dart for a couple games and see how he does. They have made a full pivot to the rookie. Also of notes around Dart is Malik Nabers, who did not practice today due to a back injury. injury right now isn't considered serious, could be just more of a rest issue, but obviously not something you can ignore, Femi, if you're looking to bet on Dart or the Giants this coming Sunday.
Yeah, I love that he comes out and says, hey, Dart's our guy the rest of the way. Who else would it be? Like, I mean, who else would we? Are we going to Jameis? Is that the next lever that we're going to pull to try to save the job? Like, we all know it's going to be Jackson Dart, and it should be Jackson Dart. It should have been Jackson Dart week one. And we outlined that yesterday, but yeah, Brian Daboll makes a whole lot of sense. Now, if Jackson Dart's going to be out there without one of his best players, I mean, that starts to be a little bit problematic. And I don't think that's what's going to happen. This, to me, feels more like a maintenance situation. And I know Malik Nabers spoke with the media earlier this afternoon. He didn't seem like he was too concerned about the back injury either. And he even said, hey, like, they asked him, like, why do you think they made the quarterback change? He says, you know, so they can get one the ball. Referring to himself. Like, and it's true. Like, you got to get that guy the football. He is as dynamic a wide receiver that we have in the NFL. Just happens to be surrounded by garbage. It's just kind of how it goes right now for Malik Nabers. But I could see this going one of two ways, which I think most games can go that way. But this one in particular feels like the high volatile outcomes are on the table. Like, would it stun anybody if the Giants actually won this game? I don't think you could be stunned when a team makes a quarterback change. And that throws everything out the window. It also wouldn't stun me if the Chargers go in there and win like 31-0. like that could easily happen as well. Whatever it is, though, I would tend to be with the under with this game just because this Chargers offensive line against that Giants defensive line, that could be advantage Giants. The crowd's going to be revved up. Should be a really good home field advantage with everyone excited to see the rookie. I think you're going to get a legitimate home field for the Giants this Sunday. And it is an early kick for the Chargers, you know, 10 a.m. for those West Coast bodies. Like, that might be a little bit of a sleepy start for the Bolts. But then also, too, this Chargers defense, the way that they've been playing, man, I don't know if you could have picked a tougher defense for Jackson Dart to face. Maybe Cleveland, I guess, would be the one. Like, in Cleveland, that would be kind of throwing him to the wolves there. But the Chargers have been awesome, keeping everything in front, limiting explosive plays. Maybe Dart can get some things going with his legs because he's a really good athlete. But I don't think he's going to find the open passing windows that he'll be searching for come Sunday. This, to me, feels like an ugly, lower-scoring game. As for the point spread, I think it's right. I don't really want to dive into that at all. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, the Indianapolis Colts are without a doubt the biggest surprise team in the NFL at this point in the season, but they might be missing a couple key players as they travel to LA to take on the Rams. First of all, wide receiver Alec Pierce is in concussion protocol. The Colts said they're just going to put him through the protocols and see when he's going to be ready to get back on the field. So no real update there at this point. And nickelback Kenny Moore is dealing with a calf injury. Now, it's been reported that he might be out a couple of weeks, but head coach Shane Steichen says the injury isn't significant, but they are still working through the injury. Not sure what his status is yet for Sunday. So, Femi, a couple key players that we got to keep an eye on for Sunday's big matchup with the Rams.
Yeah, this to me, and we always joke about this here on the show when we talk about how these games and these betting markets kind of work throughout the week, but this does feel like sort of like the pros versus Joes NFL game. And I feel like a lot of the recreational bettors are going to want to back Indianapolis with the points and say, hey, I'm getting this explosive offense plus 3.5. This seems like a good idea, which is funny because last week, everybody wanted to bet the Rams. And I think this week, everyone's going to want to bet against the Rams. And I think you're going to see some of that professional money that's kind of lying in wait. I'm hoping that they're lying in wait because let's see if we can get this thing down to 3. But I think there's going to be that professional money that has an appetite for the Rams at home in a nice bounce back spot against this Colts team. Like, this is a very good litmus test for Indianapolis. Like, let's see how good this team really is. Because I'll say right now, like, I'm a little bit skeptical, but even being somewhat skeptical, I was wrong about Indianapolis this season. Like, I thought this was going to be a bad team. They're not a bad team. I think that is an objective truth. This is at least, at worst, an average football team, maybe even a good football team, as we're going to start to find out once they start playing some of these better opponents. But for me, it feels like a spot to back the Rams. If it gets to three, I will be backing the Rams. At 3.5, I'm probably just going to pass the game. But I'm looking to play LA because I think this is a nice spot for them to kind of go ahead and flex their muscles against an unfamiliar opponent at home. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, let's switch over to baseball here because the American League playoff picture is getting wild. The Guardians last night beat the Tigers, officially wiping out a 15.5 game lead that the Tigers had in early July. They have tied them up in the AL Central, and your Seattle Mariners have clinched a playoff spot, and their magic number is down to 1 to win the AL West. There is going to be a team on the outside looking in here, a good team, whether that be Houston, Boston, Cleveland, or Detroit. Someone is going to be missing the playoffs here, Femi. It should make for a fantastic last 5 games or so of the season.
So I'm not going to be biased here. I want to start with the Cleveland Guardians before I get into my Seattle Mariners fandom because, man, last night was really awesome. Shout out to Josh Naylor with the bases clearing double there in the 8th. But for Cleveland, this team at the All-Star break was 150-1 to win the AL Central. Last month, not even last month, less than last month, August 26th, they were 80-1 to win the AL Central. They're now minus 225. Like, this is an epic collapse by the Detroit Tigers and an awesome finish, an awesome surge by the Cleveland Guardians. I thought Skubal could get it done. I mean, watching that 6th inning last night where, like, there's no ball that got hit outside the infield and they somehow score 3 runs. Like, that was just ridiculous. That's how you know things are going well for you, when that's how you can take a lead against the eventual AL Cy Young winner. The guy's going to go back-to-back Cy Young, and here you are with your swinging bunts, and that's how you beat the team. Like, it's ridiculous what Cleveland was able to accomplish. I think the folks are right. Cleveland's got the juice, and I think Cleveland is the bet tonight. I think going forward, at least in this regular season. Now, as for the Seattle Mariners, damn it, the Mariners are back playing October baseball. And it puts a smile on my face that we will see October baseball for just the second time since 2001. I was in the 6th grade in 2001. Like, I'm now 35 years old with a barking dog upstairs. Like, that's what I am right now. And I think the Mariners, with this lineup, they're incredibly dangerous. Can the pitching just get back to what their usual form is? If that's the case, I think Seattle can make a run and win the AL pennant this October. We're talking NFL MVP on the other side. This is You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.